4. Squat. Mona dreamed she was dancing the cage back in some Cleveland juke, naked in a column of hot blue light, where the faces thrusting up for her through the veil of smoke had blue light snagged in the whites of their eyes. They wore the expression men always wore when they watched you dance, staring real hard but locked up inside themselves at the same time, so their eyes told you nothing at all, and their faces, in spite of the sweat, might have been carved from something that only looked like flesh. Not that she cared how they looked when she was in the cage, high and hot and on the beat, 3 songs into the set and the whiz just starting to peak, new strength in her legs sending her up on the balls of her feet. One of them grabbed her ankle. She tried to scream, only it wouldn't come, not at first, and when it did it was like something ripped down inside her, hurt her, and the blue light shredded, but the hand was still there, around her ankle. She came up off the bed like a pop-up toy, fighting the dark, clawing hair away from her eyes. "What's the matter, babe?" He put his other hand against her forehead and shoved her back, down into the pillow's hot depression. "Dream." The hand was still there, and it made her want to scream. "You got a cigarette, Eddie?" The hand went away, click and flare of the lighter, the planes of his face jumping out at her as he lit one, handed it to her. She sat up quickly, drew her knees up under her chin with the army blanket over them, like a tent, because she didn't feel like anybody touching her then at all. The scavenged plastic chair's broken leg made a warning sound as he leaned back and lit his own cigarette. "Break," she thought. "Pitch him on his ass so he gets to hit me a few times." At least it was dark, so she didn't have to look at the squat. Worst thing was waking up with a bad head, too sick to move, when she'd come in crashing and forgotten to retape the black plastic. Hard sun to show her all the little details and heat the air so the flies could get going. Nobody ever grabbed her back in Cleveland. Anybody numb enough to reach through that field was already too drunk to move, maybe to breathe. The tricks never grabbed her either, not unless they'd squared it with Eddie, paid extra, and that was just pretend. Whichever way they wanted it, it got to be a kind of ritual, so it seemed to happen in a place outside your life. And she'd gotten into watching them when they lost it. That was the interesting part, because they really did lose it. They were totally helpless, maybe just for a split second, but it was like they weren't even there. "Eddie, I'm gonna go crazy. I gotta sleep here anymore." He'd hit her before, for less, so she put her face down against her knees in the blanket and waited. "Sure," he said. "You want to go back to the catfish farm? Want to go back to Cleveland? I just can't take this anymore. Tomorrow."
"Tomorrow what?"
"That's soon enough for you? Tomorrow night, private fucking jet, straight up to New York? Then you're going to quit giving me this shit?"
"Please, baby."
And she reached out for him. "We can take the train." He slapped her hand away. "You got shit for brains." If she complained any more, anything about the squat, anything that implied he wasn't making it, that all his big deals added up to nothing, he'd start. She knew he'd start. Like the time she'd screamed about the bugs, the roaches they called palmetto bugs. But it was because the goddamn things were mutants, half of them. Someone had tried to wipe them out with something that fucked with their DNA, so you'd see these screwed-up roaches dying with too many legs or heads, or not enough. And once she'd seen one that looked like it had swallowed a crucifix or something, its back or shell or whatever it was, distorted in a way that made her want to puke.
"Baby," she said, trying to soften her voice, "I can't help it. This place is just getting to me."
"Hooky Greens," he said, like he hadn't heard her. "I was up in Hooky Greens, and I met a mover. He picked me out, you know. Man's got an eye for talent." She could almost feel his grin through the dark. "Out of London, England. Talent scout. Come into Hooky's, and it was just you, my man."
"A trick?"
Hooky Greens was where Eddie had most recently decided the action was. 33rd floor of a glass high stack, with most of the inside walls knocked down, had about a block of dance floor, but he'd gone off the place when nobody there was willing to pay him much attention. Mona hadn't ever seen Hookie himself, lean, mean Hookie Green, the retired ball player who owned the place, but it was great for dancing. Will you fucking listen? Trick? Shit! He's the man! He's a connection! He's on the ladder, and he's going to pull me up! And you know what? I'm going to take you with me. But what's he want? An actress. Sort of an actress. And a smart boy to get her in place and keep her there. Actress? Place? What place? She heard him unzip his jacket. Something landed on the bed near her feet. 2,000. Jesus. Maybe it wasn't a joke. But if it wasn't, what the hell was it? How much you pull tonight, Mona?
90.
It had really been 120, but she'd figured the last one for overtime. She was too scared to hold out on him usually, but she'd needed whiz money. Keep it. Get some clothes. Not like work stuff. Nobody wants your little ass hanging out. Not this trip.
When?
Tomorrow, I said. You can kiss this place goodbye. When he said that, it made her want to hold her breath. The chair creaked again. 90, huh?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Eddie, I'm so tired.
No, he said. But what he wanted wasn't the truth, or anything like it. He wanted a story, the story that he'd taught her to tell him. He didn't want to hear what they talked about, and most of them had some one thing they wanted real bad to tell you, and usually they did, or how they'd got around to asking to see your blood work tickets, or how every other one made that same joke about how what they couldn't cure they could put in remission, or even what they wanted in bed. Eddie wanted to hear about this big guy who treated her like she didn't matter. Except she had to be careful, when she told it, not to make the trick too rough, because that was supposed to cost more than she'd actually been paid. The main thing was that this imaginary trick had treated her like she was a piece of equipment he'd rented for half an hour. Not that there weren't plenty like that, but they mostly spent their money at puppet parlors or got it on stim. Mona tended to get the ones who wanted to talk, who tried to buy you a sandwich after, which could be bad in its own way, but not the kind of bad Eddie needed. And the other thing Eddie needed was for her to tell him how that wasn't what she liked, but she'd found herself wanting it anyway, wanting it bad. She reached down in the dark and touched the envelope full of money. The chair creaked again. So she told him how she was coming out of a buy-low, and he'd hit on her, this big guy. Just asked how much, which had embarrassed her, but she told him anyway, and she'd said okay. So they went in his car, which was old and big and kind of damp-smelling, cribbing detail from her Cleveland days, and he'd sort of flipped her over the seat. In front of the bilo?
In back.
Eddie never accused her of making any of it up, even though she knew he must have taught her the general outline somehow, and it was always basically the same story. By the time the big guy had her skirt up, the black one, she said, and I had on my white boots, and his pants down, she could hear Eddie's belt buckle jingling as he peeled off his jeans. Part of her was wondering, when he slid into bed beside her, whether the position she was describing was physically possible, but she kept on going, and anyway it was working on Eddie. She remembered to put in how it hurt when the guy was getting it in, even though she'd been really wet. She put in how he held her wrists, though by now she was pretty confused about what was where, except that her ass was supposed to be up in the air. Eddie had started to touch her, stroking her breasts and stomach, so she switched from the offhand brutality of the trick's moves to how it was supposed to have made her feel. How it was supposed to have made her feel was a way she hadn't ever felt. She knew you could get to a place where doing it hurt a little but still felt good, but she knew that wasn't it. What Eddie wanted to hear was that it hurt a lot and made her feel bad, but she liked it anyway, which made no sense at all to Mona, but she'd learned to tell it the way he wanted her to. Because anyway it worked, and now Eddie rolled over with the blanket bunched up across his back and got in between her legs.
She figured he must be seeing it in his head, like a cartoon, what she was telling him. And at the same time, he got to be that faceless, pumping big guy. He had her wrists now, pinned above her head, the way he liked. And when he was done, curled on his side, asleep, Mona lay awake in the stale dark, turning the dream of leaving around and around, bright and wonderful. And please let it be true.